Sometimes it's hard for us to realize how good He has been to us. In the book of Habakkuk is where we'll be reading from tonight. Jeff's not back there with Mary and them, so I'll tell him it's in the Old Testament. All right. I'll help Jeff out tonight. And you got Nahum before it, and then Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. We'll give them just a few minutes to find it. And I do want to tell Morgan, we've got a brand new Bible for her. And y'all remind me after, at the close of the service, and we'll have fellowship. Give her right hand fellowship into the church and present her with her brand new Bible from the church this evening. And we're just thankful for these recent converts that we've had, and we want to pray for them, asking God to be with them and strengthen them and to help them to be the Christian that God wants them to be. Has everybody found it tonight? I know my Bible's different than yours, but in mine it's page 910. Okay. Habakkuk, the third chapter, is where we'll be reading from. Go with me, if you would, down to verse 16 through the end of this chapter and even the end of this book tonight as we start reading here in verse 16. He says, "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness encountered or entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer of my string instruments." To start reading there with verse 19, you can be seated in the house of the Lord. Some good reading from the book of Habakkuk. And in this third chapter, and I'd like to use tonight for a text, "While you pray, rejoicing for the right reasons." Rejoicing for the right reasons. And it'll go right with our prayer request and these testimonies and even these songs this evening. When we think about rejoicing, we usually think about rejoicing when things are going good, when the good reports have come, when the good job opportunities have been presented, or when everything is just right. That's when most people, I believe, think that about rejoicing is when everything is good. And even then, it's hard to get people to rejoice because things are so good that they don't need God. Isn't that the way it goes? So it's difficult for us to get people to rejoice when God has done such great things for them. And we know that He's been good to all of us. And this writer here, the minor prophet that wrote this book, Habakkuk, tells us that even in this whole book, it talks about how that the Lord spoke unto him and told him about all the things that was coming, all the destruction that was coming upon the people because they had forsaken God and because they had gone after the false gods of this world. It sounds like a familiar story, don't it? And then when we look at our world today, no doubt the Word is telling us this evening that God is going to bring fury and wrath even upon our country and our folks because they have forsaken Him and gone after these false gods. But how many of us tonight could be like this prophet? That when bad news come, that we still could rejoice in the Lord. Many people rejoice for different reasons. Christians rejoice when the songs are sung just right because they can relate with the songs and their spirits are lifted up. Or maybe when that right message is preached, they can rejoice because they're united through the Spirit with the Word that's being proclaimed from the pulpit. But the Bible tells us that there are people that rejoice at the wrong times as well. The writer said in the book of Proverbs that we're not to rejoice when evil comes. When evil comes and people fail to do good. Some folks get, you know, they get all excited when they see other people do evil. And they rejoice in those things. The Bible says we ought to stay away from evil things. And we ought not rejoice when we see evil things happen to people around us. It also says in the 24th chapter that we're not to rejoice when our enemies fall. And sometimes that's hard not to do. Amen. Some of you might help the preacher tonight. Or when our enemy stumbles. And sometimes, Jim, the flesh, we have to fight off the flesh not to rejoice because the Bible told us not to do so. It's not right. In the book of James, in the 4th chapter, he said that we ought not to rejoice in our boastings. And what he's saying there is that we ought not rejoice in that we say, I will do this and I will do that. Or I'm the one who has done all these things. That we ought not rejoicing that because all such rejoicing is evil. Because it's not you or I that's done anything. But it's by the grace of God that we have the strength and ability to do anything. God could very easily take it away from us. And then I read this scripture and thought about how that even Baptist folks tonight, how many of us could look at what this writer saw through the Word of God, that the fig tree would not blossom, the fruit would not be on the vines, and the olives would fail, and the fields would yield no meat, and there'd be the flock would be cut off from the fold, and there would be no herd in the stalls. How many of us could rejoice when all those bad things happened in our lives, and we knew it was coming? You know, if we knew it was coming, it's different than if it really happened right now. Because if it happened right now, we'd be caught up in the midst of it, and it'd be hard to rejoice. But Wayne, this guy did not see it right now. He saw it in the future coming to him. How many of us could rejoice tonight if we knew tomorrow something bad was going to happen? Our rejoicing spirit would flee from us, would it not? If we knew that something bad would happen tomorrow, we would not feel like rejoicing tonight. But the prophet said it like this. He said, even though I saw all these things happening, I still had a reason to rejoice. And the right reason to rejoice is because he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Not just because he's the Lord, but he said, he went on to say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because he's my strength. No matter what may come, the Lord is my strength. Can I preach for a little bit tonight? It doesn't matter what we face. If the Lord is your strength, God can help you make it through that situation in your life. He said, he'll make my feet like hinds' feet. In other words, that you'll be sure-footed. In the midst of a storm, when the winds are wailing and the sea may be boisterous, but if you got the Lord as your strength, he'll make your feet sure. Look at those men that was on the ship with Christ when they was out there and the storm came. They was their feet was no doubt unsure, but they knew about the man that was on board that could make sure that nothing happened to them. Amen. And they woke him and said, Master, careth not that we perish? And every time I read that verse and I recite it, I think about how that I've got it written in my Bible. That's a silly question. Of course he cared. But he let them see that they could not walk without him being there to help them. And just like he does for you and I tonight. The Bible teaches us that when we see this, that when we know bad things are going to happen, and bad things happen to all kinds of people, saved and lost alike. Does not the scripture say that it rains on the just and the unjust alike? Does it not say that the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike? There's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days. But it ought not stop us from rejoicing for the right reasons. And what is the right reason? Because we are saved and on our way to heaven. If we can just see how good God's already been to us, then we wouldn't have to have a reason to rejoice other than that right there in itself. I can rejoice in God because I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. That no matter what the devil, yes, listen at what happened when he, if we go back to verse 16. If I can tell you this before I go back there. When we hear of bad news and we see that things are happening, how many of you feel like this prophet? Listen to what he said. When I heard, my belly trembled. Has anybody else's belly trembled when you heard about bad things that was about to happen? He said, my lips quivered at the voice. Also, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. He saw all this happening, and when I read that, it reminds us that whenever something bad, sometimes when the phone rings after a particular hour or before a particular hour, how many of you are like me that you can just feel your bones quiver? Your stomach begins to ache because you know that it must be something bad has happened. And he knew that he felt the same as we do. The Bible teaches us there's not that much difference between you and I. There's not that much difference between those here in the United States and people around the world. When bad news comes, we tremble. We quiver. And we ache because of what the news report come. And I thought about this as they were singing those songs, that even when the doctor's report comes back that it's not good, or when the bills begin to stack up, or when the kids' health, or when something has gone awry, we oftentimes we begin to tremble so much and quiver so much that we almost become like a cocoon, and that we try to just wrap ourselves up and try to comfort ourselves. But the Bible teaches us that instead of waiting for the good news to come, that's when we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. And I put this down because I want to share it with you tonight while they were singing, because I sometimes when they're singing their songs or somebody's testifying, I'll make a little side note that the Lord has blessed me with the thought, and I want to share this with you tonight, that this right here, that we ought to be able to rejoice when the bad news comes because we know what God can do. Amen. Amen. That we ought to be able to rejoice. Some folks say, you're so positive about what God can do that there's probably never a storm that you get down and out. How many of you have been down and out when the bad news come? But then when you finally come to your right mind, you realize whose you are, who you belong to in Christ Jesus. And although I might not be able to fix it, although you might not be able to fix it, Jim, I know a man that can fix every situation that we face in life. That's what the writer here was saying. The prophet said that even though I may not have crops, even though I may not have herds, I still can rejoice because I remember that the word said that there was another prophet that the Lord had the ravens to bring him food. And even those that didn't even have a meal, but just enough to share for their last meal, and then they was going to die. But the Lord sent a prophet to them. And you remember, even though it was bad news, he said, you fix me a meal first. And then after that, you and the boy eat. But the Bible says because she obeyed God, that the Lord made sure that the meal never went down, nor the cruise ever failed. Folks, when we realize who we serve and we begin to worship Him and rejoice in Him and praise Him, folks, we realize how big of a God we serve and that there is no limit to what He will do for His people. How many of you are saved tonight? Would you raise your hands real quick? perfect, then let me give you this. And you can walk away here tonight knowing this, that if He did this for those prophets and all of those in years gone by, the same God loves you as much as He loved them. He's watching over you and me just like He watched over them. And the same God that delivered them, He's going to deliver us. Don't wait till it happens to rejoice. We ought to rejoice knowing that God is able to do all things tonight. And some folks say, well, I'm going to wait for my child to get right, then I'll start thanking God. I'm going to wait for my loved ones to get saved, then I'll start thanking God. Some folks say, well, when my job condition gets better, then I'll start thanking God and rejoicing in God. Or when the kids start acting better, then I'll start praising and rejoicing God. Folks, what we ought to do is just say, Lord, I've not seen tomorrow. Neither have you. But I know who holds tomorrow in the palm of His hands, and I know that He is able to deliver everything that I stand in. Folks, God doesn't wait for you to pray to find out what is near and dear to your heart. He already knows what's upon your heart. He knows what you need. He knows your concerns. He knows your thoughts. Even the very hair of your head, God knows every one of them. Sister Ruby, did He not say that He knows the sparrows when they fall from the sky? And He said in that scripture that you are worth more than the sparrows that fall. If God knows all of that and He takes care of all of them, folks, He's certainly going to take care of us. I may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can rejoice. Can I preach for a few more minutes? I'll go back to Abraham. Abraham did not see Christ born, but before hundreds of years, thousands of years, before Christ was ever born, Abraham rejoiced because he read the word. God gave him a prophecy that there was going to come a lamb born of a virgin in a manger that would take away the sins of this world. Rob, he didn't wait. He couldn't wait that many years to begin to rejoice. He rejoiced when the word come that the Messiah is going to come. You may not be there, but go ahead and rejoice, because I'm telling you, the word of God come from heaven that there will come a Redeemer for my people. And Abraham rejoiced for the right reason. Even though he didn't see Him, he rejoiced because he saw that day. The Bible says this, that Moses, even though he didn't get to go into Canaan land, the Bible teaches us that God took him up on a high mountain. At the crossing, if you'll have it. And God allowed him to look over into Canaan land. You talking about rejoicing. He may have never got to go into it, but he rejoiced because that was why all those miles that he walked, all those years in the wilderness that they traveled, that's what he kept telling the people. Don't murmur against God. Don't speak against God. But praise God. Rejoice in what God has done for you. And I try not to be long-winded, Bill, but you know, they forgot what God did for them and where He brought them from. He brought them out from underneath bondage, and these bunch of stiff-necked Baptists, they got out there in the wilderness, and you know what they began to cry about? We don't have no onions, and we don't have the garlic and all of the vegetables that we had when we was back in Egypt. They forgot that they was in bondage in Egypt. You may have had cucumbers and onions while you was back there, but you was a slave. You're out here in the wilderness and you have manna and you have quail's meat, and you want to complain because you don't have a salad to go with it. Don't that sound like Baptist today? Instead of complaining, we ought to be rejoicing that God has given us all things. You never thought about that before, have you? Instead of worrying about it, we can quiver. God knows that we are human. Let me close tonight. God knows that we are human. How many of you worry when bad news comes? When things you don't know, the uncertainty that's out there in front of you. We all worry. God knows that we worry. But He also says this, that instead of worrying, we ought to take it all to the Lord. Put it as in His hands. Because anything that prevents us from rejoicing in what God has done and what God is going to do is evil. And we ought to stay away from it. We ought to get it out of our life. Because worry, and you've heard me preach on this in years gone by, worry, most of the time we worry about things that never happens. All we're doing is borrowing tomorrow's trouble for today. I don't know about you, but I got enough trouble today. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I pray oftentimes for God, Lord, just help me through this day. Sometimes I pray, Lord, help me through this hour. Sometimes I pray, Lord, help me through this moment. Some of you get that later. But when trouble comes, tomorrow's too late. When trouble comes, next hour is too late. I need the Lord to show up now. And when we began to rejoice in knowing, Casey sings that song every once in a while. She hasn't sung it lately. When we began to think about what God has done for us, we can start singing that song. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know that whatever it is that I have need of, He's going to take care of it. The writer said it like this. I know trouble's coming. God's already told me, trouble's coming, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself. Sometimes when trouble comes, I just find myself just like a little child. And you just feel yourself drawing up. You feel the pain in your stomach. You feel your guts hurt. And you just ache because of the trouble that's there. And folks, it's not unique to us. We do the same thing when trouble comes to our kids, do we not? We do the same thing, or are we supposed to do the same thing when the trouble comes to one of our brothers or sisters in the church? It ought to make us hurt from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet until we get the victory over that sickness or over that situation. But the only way we're going to get it is for somebody to break out in a song of rejoicing. For somebody to say, be like the ones that was there at the temple. Peter, and when he looked down upon that man, the man was there begging for alms, he said, I don't have any alms to give to you. Folks, I cannot fix your trouble. But what Peter said unto him, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Tonight, that's what we need in the midst of a church. When bad news comes, somebody start praising the Lord. Somebody sing a song. Somebody shout a little bit. Somebody just testify. Somebody preach about the goodness of God. And let God's people rejoice, because we don't know how, we don't know when, but we know this. God will take care of His own people. Because we are witnesses to it, are we not? Robin Sharon gives a song of invitation, if you would. And as they come, let me tell you for just a moment while they get this song to sing. You going to sing, Casey? You going to sing that song for me? All right. Then y'all come sing a song. I love that song because I know my Redeemer liveth. I was reading in the Bible earlier this afternoon how that God made fun of all the gods that were before Him. He said, you've made these gods of wood, and I'm going to paraphrase, and you've covered them with silver and gold. He said, you speak to them and they hear you not. That's what our world does. You speak to them, but they can't hear you. You can lay food out, you can put water out, but the food will not be eaten. The water will not be drunk. You can tell them all your troubles, but they won't hear you. You can ask them for an answer, but they can't speak. Folks, we have a God that knows every concern that you have. Instead of us holding back and waiting for God to do something great before we began to praise Him, this writer said, I know bad times are coming. But he said, instead of waiting, I'm going to start rejoicing for the right reasons. I'm not going to rejoice because of the doctor's report. I'm not going to rejoice because I'm not going to have any crops. I'm not going to rejoice because I'm not going to have my vineyards are going to be bare, or I'm not going to have any animals in the stall. But I'm going to rejoice because I serve a God who is my strength. Amen. When the 70 came back to Jesus in the book of Luke, in the 10th chapter, when they came back to Jesus, they was rejoicing. They was all excited because the spirits was subject unto Him. Jesus looked at them, and if I can use part of my other scripture from the book of James in the 4th chapter, when He looked at them and He said that all your boastings is evil. He said, don't you boast because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is there anything else that's more exciting to rejoice about than knowing that your name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life? Folks, that's something to get somebody excited on a Wednesday night. To know that you may never make the newspaper, your name may never be big here in this world, but folks, I have reached a height that is larger than the newspaper and larger than this world. My name is written down in glory. God knows my name. Jesus knows my name, and the angels know my name. Yeah. Folks, that's something to rejoice about. Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song? And tonight, if you need something's holding back you from rejoicing, bring it to the Lord. Because God's people need to be able to rejoice in what God has done for them. Don't let anything hold you or stop you from praising the Lord for what He has done for you. Many of you, when I said the Lord is good, you said amen. If you know He's been good to you, then we ought to be able to praise Him for His goodness and kindness. Leave it all in the hands of the Lord. Yes. He'll meet you there. Amen. I hope you got something from the message tonight. You know, sometimes we think, well, when things get better, then I'll start rejoicing. It's like when God lays a song on your heart and you don't sing it this service, you can't come back next service and expect to sing that song. It won't work. It's like a message. I can't put off a message that God lays up on my heart and say, I'm going to save that for Sunday, because God knows we need it now. Sunday, I might not be here. Some of you say, where are you going to be? I might be gone to the other side. We don't know. God, when He lays it upon our hearts, that's when we ought to move and act. Sister Morgan, while these are praying, won't you come on up here? And the church, we give a new Bible to those that have been saved and baptized. And this one's still in the cellophane wrapper. I hope I said that right. In plastic. As I was trying to be sophisticated. I don't know better. I am from Kentucky. It's in plastic. And we give this to her because this is the best.